Today, we are sharing 9 questions you should ask a financial advisor before hiring them.
Yeah, and to start off, you want to ask, are you a fiduciary at all times? The term fiduciary simply means that this advisor is required to do what is in your best interest above all else. And it's important to know there are 2 standards in the financial advisory world. One is called a suitability standard, mm-hmm. and the other is the fiduciary standard. The suitability standard simply means that that advisor only has to do something that's suitable for you. So it's very easy for them to get away with saying, hey, this insurance product I sold you was suitable. It was okay.
But maybe not in your best interest.
But probably not in your best interest. So you really want to find somebody that is a fiduciary.
Yeah. You also keep in mind that there's close to 700,000 financial advisors in the United States, and only 10% of them are true fiduciaries.
That's a low number.
Yeah. And what that means is you can either be affiliated with a broker-dealer or you could be affiliated with the SEC. Or you could be affiliated with both. Mm-hmm. The SEC requires the fiduciary standard, whereas the FINRA and the broker-dealers do not. Mm-hmm. So only 10% of them are only affiliated with the SEC. So a quick way to check to see if a financial advisor really is a fiduciary is go to brokercheck.org and check to see if they are affiliated with the SEC as an investment advisor or if they're affiliated with a broker-dealer or both.
Yeah, and it's important to check that because, again, somebody might say they're a fiduciary, but that's why we put in our question at all times, because there is this thing where they're dually registered and they can essentially put on their fiduciary hat and give you advice, and then they can take that hat off, they can put on their salesperson hat and then sell you a product. So that's why you have to ask, are you a fiduciary at all times? And then you want to ask them, how do they invest their money?
Yeah. Pretty important topic. Yeah. So how do they actually invest their money? Do they pick stocks? Do they trade all the time? Do they buy index funds? It's a very important question because this is your wealth after all being invested.
Yeah, and you want to understand that approach. They should be able to take the time to educate you, walk you through this approach to investing, and there should be some data and some empirical evidence as to why they're investing this way.
Yeah, so the term is investment philosophy. So every money manager, financial advisor, at least worth their salt, should have a pretty well-defined investment philosophy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You'd be surprised at how many do not. Make sure that they have a well-defined, data-driven, back-tested investment strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Question 3. Yeah. What are your credentials?
I don't know. What are they?
That's a good question. Yeah. You want to make sure that the people you're working with have an education in finance. They have something like a CFP designation. Yeah. You want to make sure that they've spent the time, energy, expense, and they've got the expertise to truly work with you in a holistic way.
Yeah, so the barrier to entry in this field is extremely low. This is why we have close to 700,000 different financial advisors here in the U.S.
Hundreds of different designations.
Yep, and typically they will say, hey, look, I am registered with FINRA, I'm registered with the SEC, either through like a Series 7 or Series 6 or Series 63, but know that it's extremely easy to get those licenses. It often takes only maybe a couple of months worth of studying.
Someone saying they've got a Series license and that's the highest level means they've done the absolute minimum qualification needed.
Yeah. So you want someone who has some type of a background in finance, like they studied economics in undergrad or they studied finance or they have a CFP or even a CFA if they're going to be managing your money. Something where it requires years of study and years of practice to actually become qualified so that they understand not only the world of the capital markets, the stock, bonds, managed futures markets, but also the economy.
Yeah.
How does monetary policy work? How does fiscal policy work? How does the supply chain of money work? So number 4 is, how do you get paid?
Yeah, this is an important one. Ideally, you want to find somebody that is a fee-only advisor. Now, there's a few different ways advisors can get paid. One is commissions, so a little bit of an old school way. They sell you a product, they make a commission. Some advisors work off of an hourly rate. Some might have just a fixed dollar amount. Mm-hmm. Some might have this term AUM, assets under management. But it's really important that no matter what it is, it's transparent and that you understand exactly what you are paying for.
But you also understand that they are not also receiving commissions. If they're selling you mutual funds or if they're selling you an annuity or a life insurance product and they're getting a commission off of that, that's a clear indication that they are not a fiduciary and maybe they don't have your best interests at heart. But bottom line, you want to understand how this individual in front of you is actually getting paid for the services that they're providing you.
It's so important. When they are fee only, their clients are the only people paying them, right? And this makes perfect sense. If I'm hiring you to provide a service and give me personalized advice, I want to make sure I'm the one paying you, right? Every service has a fee. But to think of an advisor that tells clients, oh, don't worry, you don't pay me, the insurance company pays me, or this brokerage pays me, that is just a recipe for disaster. That is where conflicts of interest exist. And to know that that advisor's compensation will change depending on the advice they give you. Hey, if I sell this product, I'm going to make exponentially more. Sooner or later, those conflicts have an impact, and it's tough for people to deny them. So finding somebody that's fee only, just try to eliminate that potential conflict of them getting commissions and kickbacks and anything that's confusing.
Yeah, so talk about conflicts of interest. Number five on our list is the Bernie Madoff question. Where is my money held? This is a great question. Clients are always awkward asking this, but it's a very fair
question.
It's
one of the most important questions. Yeah. You want an advisor to use a third-party custodian. So a custodian is where your money will be held. Think of TD Ameritrade, Schwab, Fidelity, E-Trade.
It's kind of like a bank, but not technically a bank.
Yeah.
So that's the way you want to think about it. Where is my money actually being held and placed into? So the big ones are, like you said, Schwab is by far the 800-pound gorilla in this arena. TD Ameritrade, which has just been acquired by Schwab. You have E-Trade, you have Fidelity, and then you have some smaller startups.
Some smaller ones,
Interactive Brokers, Altruist is another one. Mm-hmm. So make sure, I guess the bottom line is make sure that it's held at a big, well-known firm where you can Google them, you kind of recognize the name, and make sure it's not being made out to Bernie Madoff Investments, LLC.
Yeah, you should never be sending any money or check to your advisory firm's name, right?
Or the advisor themselves.
And that's exactly it. Bernie Madoff was able to get away with his scandal because he was the custodian. So he was able to forge statements, send them to clients where they said, oh, I'm making money. This is great. He was able to fake it all. If he used a third-party custodian, for example, Schwab, Schwab would be sending you your statements. Schwab would be sending you your tax documents. So he wouldn't be able to forge any of this. So just making sure you ask that advisor, where's my money held? You want to see a third-party custodian.
Yes. All right. Next up on the list, we have what services do you provide? It's very important to understand whenever I sign up with you and I sign an agreement, what should I be getting in return?
What am I getting?
Only money management.
What's the point of hiring you?
Financial planning.
Yep.
What's the value add here?
Yeah, a lot of advisors, maybe the old school way was just managing some money, right? Think of the stockbroker mentality. Yeah. But now you want to just make sure, what services do you need if you're looking for help with your taxes or understanding your small business or understanding estate planning or insurance needs? You want to know what advice does this advisor give you? And it's important when you look at somebody that truly is credentialed. They're going to be giving you advice on all aspects of your financial life. But you want to make sure that this advisor you're interviewing is going to do that because there are hundreds of thousands of them and they don't all provide these services. So you have to ask them point blank, what am I getting?
Yeah. And also, I would also clarify what is the actual schedule service that you would be receiving. So is there an annual review meeting at the beginning of the year? Mm-hmm. When does that happen? Is there a tax planning session? Is there an insurance review session? Like, how should we communicate?
How often are you going to be calling me?
Or are you waiting for me to reach out to you? Do you respond via email or text or in person or Zoom?
Yeah.
You know, just get all of this out up front so that you know exactly what to expect with this.
Absolutely. Establish the right expectations for sure. And ask the question for sure. So number seven, tell me about your typical clients. This is an important one where you want to know, what type of client does this advisor work with? There's so many different people with different questions. It's important to know, are they going to have the expertise for your unique situation?
Yeah. So some advisors only work with a particular subset of the population. Some only work with retirees. Some only work with tech employees. Some only work with doctors or attorneys. So make sure that you're not the odd person out of this person's specialty. So if you're a high-tech, high-income individualized earner, you don't want to be signing up with a financial advisor that only works with retirees. So maybe their tech stack and maybe their experience really isn't equipped to work, you know, well with you.
Yeah, yeah. If you work at Google and you've got the Google restricted stock units, the GSUs, you're going to want an advisor that has experience with that and doesn't, oh, I only work with federal employees that have the FERS pension plan.
I only work with airline pilots.
That might not work very well. So just ask them, what's your typical client like? And I think another question that's good that's under this is, how many clients do you work with?
Yeah. So we call this the Goldilocks zone.
Goldilocks.
Right? So you don't want to work with an advisor that has too few clients, you know, 5 clients, 10 clients, and neither do you want
to. That's a red flag.
That's a big red flag. Maybe. I mean, give everyone the benefit of the doubt, but if they've been around for like a year or two and they only have 5 or 10 clients, something is wrong. Likewise, you don't want to work with an advisor or an advisory team that has 300 clients, 400 clients, 500 clients, because then you should expect some pretty lousy service if you work with an individual with that many clients. It's just too much to handle.
Yeah, it's tough to know. There's been a lot of research trying to understand how many clients can an advisor work with, but usually that number is oftentimes in that 75 to 150-ish range.
I think 150, 200 is probably the capacity.
Really depends on the team. But if you're speaking to a small independent advisor, that's a fiduciary, that's a great start. But if all of a sudden you realize they're by themselves and they got 250 clients they're managing, that's really tough for them to truly provide personalized, proactive service on an ongoing basis. It's really hard. So it's a totally fair question to ask an advisor.
Yep. Next question. Do you have any client complaints?
That's a good one.
What is your track record?
Yeah. If a client complains to an advisor, that's going to go on their track record. And you can check this on brokercheck.org, which you mentioned before. So you'll be able to see what's called disclosures. It's a big yellow button on there that shows you, have they had complaints?
Yeah.
Have they had a bankruptcy?
You can kind of read through saying, like, is this complaint legitimate? And what was the, you know, what was the penalty for that?
Yeah. And you can check it also firm-wide. So you can go have some fun and type in some of these well-known banks and see the hundreds and hundreds of disclosures they have and fines. And you can see the dollar amount. You can see settlements. You can see lawsuits. But again, ask this question and then do your own research. Go to brokercheck.org and look up this advisor's name to see what is their track record with compliance.
Yep. All right, and last on this list, how do I fire you?
Best question. Love it.
Yeah, so if things aren't working, well, obviously you don't want to go into this relationship expecting to fire them, but again, you always want to, you want to prepare, what's the saying? You want to prepare for the best.
Hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Yeah, hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Absolutely.
So yeah, making sure that you understand exactly what that looks like if that time does come.
Yeah, is there a cost to close accounts with that custodian? Is it an email? Is it a 30-day notice? Is it a 2-month notice? Are there refunds?
You know, are there fees involved?
How do I get out of this just in case it turns out this wasn't the best? It wasn't what I was hoping for.
So if there's a really big fee or if there's like a 90-day window, then that should be a red flag if you come across that.
Yeah. Well, we hope we found this helpful. Let us know if you have any questions.
Thank you. Thanks for watching. Again, my name is Ryan. This is Peter. And we run a financial advisory firm called Bull Oak Capital. If you want to learn more about how we help our clients achieve true financial independence, be sure to check out bulloakcapital.com.